Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, God Puts Us to the Test, already in progress.
I was going through a test, but I fought my battle, and praise God, I won my battle. I had my bout for a couple of months. I found out where Jack Van Impe, he had a terrible bout. He went to the doctor, and they only gave him a 20% chance to live, but he lives, and he's back on now, back preaching again. John Hagee, he had a bout. He was off for several weeks. I mean, he was out for several weeks. He had a terrible test of sickness and disease. He went to the doctors too. And then Rod Parsley, we had somebody called here this week about Rod Parsley. Rod Parsley has had some kind of throat cancer. And, there's all kinds of pastors that are having terrible trials and tests. But, you know, the thing about it is, every one of us, including me, with that lung problem, I'm not sure if I ever figured out what it was that was the sin, but I can assure you I had one. You know, no curse comes upon you undeserved. And Scripture says a curse causes cannot come to rest. You cannot be made sick without a cause. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
If God said it, if He says the curse causes cannot come to rest, then it cannot come on me unless I do something that doesn't please Him. And I don't know what pleases Him and what doesn't please Him all the time. I may think I'm doing everything to please Him, but it may not please Him. Do y'all remember when Howard Pittman was here? Was anybody here when Howard Pittman was here? You remember what God told Howard Pittman when he got home after he died? He wasn't happy with him. He'd been a Baptist preacher for all those years. And he told him, he said, Howard, if you come through that door, you will not get one single reward. Is that what he said?
Exactly what he said.
You will not get a single reward. He said, Lord, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, Lord, I know what you do. I was with you every message you preached. He said, well, Lord, what did I do wrong? He said, you only preached part of my word. You wouldn't preach all of it. You preached what the Baptist said preach. You didn't preach all of it. He said, Lord, my wife and I raised 27 foster children for you. He said, I am so tired of hearing you gloat over that. He said, you didn't raise no children for me. You did it so you could gloat over it. He said, you didn't do nothing for me. You did it all for yourself. Now then, that kind of makes me wonder what I've done for him, what I've done for self. Didn't you all have those questions? You know, maybe I didn't do this for you, Lord. Maybe I wasn't the good wife I needed to be to my husband because maybe I was doing it for him and not for God. You see what I mean? Lord, what did I do for you? You know, I think we really need to question our own selves. Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? I think about the number of people, I hope that I can say this right. I'm so humbled about the number of people that contact this ministry by either letter, email, phone, and says, tell Pastor Scrivener, I love him for what he does. He has saved my life. He saved my children's life. He has done this. He's done this. His ministry has just changed and our world has exploded, and I want to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him. You know, I love getting those praise reports. Do y'all understand? I love people getting healed and delivered. I love somebody coming in and shaking my hand and saying, I love you. I love you because of what you do. At least I believe I'm trying to please the Lord. Y'all understand? Doesn't it make good sense to be working for the Lord, Bill? I mean, we need to be doing something for Jesus. And, you know, it's just amazing that the things that we do. And so when we go through these trials and tests, I think to myself, I think how many of these men, and of course, we're all in a different place. We're all pastors and we all got a thing to do for God. But I think to myself, how many of us as pastors have taught healing? Rod Parsley teaches healing. You know, Jack Van Impe, he don't much teach on healing at all, but I know that many of these men do. Many of those men teach on healing. But they've totally missed the scripture about it. When you ask me to do something, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. We don't believe that. We really don't believe that. Because if we really believed that, we wouldn't turn around and go to a doctor and let them do radiation and chemo on you. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? If I pray and ask God for something, since you've just been healed, if I pray and ask God to heal me, I got to believe He's going to heal me and not medicine. I got to wait on Him. And when He does it, He don't have any side effects. I've never had anybody come to me and say, God gave me something that killed me. I ain't never seen that, brother. You know, have you? He don't have side effects to his medication, does he? He always gives you the right stuff and you get healed. You know, but the world, you know, I mean, the reason I done that test that time is when Larry used to come here all the time, him and his wife still comes here all the time. But when he wanted me to baptize him, when he came out here, he heard me teach the word. He said, Thurman, I want to accept Jesus as my real Lord and Savior, and I want you to baptize me. And of course, he's a big old football player, and we had to take him up to the lake. My little tub in there wasn't big enough to baptize Larry. So we had to take him up to the lake, and we baptized. Me and Dave went up and baptized him. And then I told Larry, I said, when he had the problem with his knees, and he said, I'm going to go to the hospital and have a knee replaced. And I said, but Larry, we can pray over that. He said, no, Thurman, I don't have the faith. He said, I know what you teach is exactly what God's word says, but he said, I just don't have the faith. And so he said, I'm going to go to the doctor. Larry went to the doctor, and he had his knee replaced. And it was either the second or the third day after they'd done the surgery that they gave him some wrong medication, and it killed him. That man was a member of this church. It killed him. He died because of wrong medication. So after that, I decided that I would do some testing, and I went and done some research. That's when I found out that 2,050 people a week die in hospitals because of wrong medication. He was one of 2,050 that week that died. I thought, I had no idea that there's that many people that receive wrong medication and it kills them. So, you know, here that's another reason that, you know, it makes it real easy for me if the records, that's just kind of like, you know, how many... Let's just say that 500 people on a super jumbo jet airplane. 2,050, that would be over four airplane loads of people, right? Four. Is that right? Be 2,050 people. Let's say that you traveled a lot, and let's say that every week, four jumbo jets crashed and killed everybody on board. Every week, four of them crash. Would you fly? You're not a dummy either, are you? Now, I guarantee if four of them boogers crashed every week, you better believe I'd walk or I'd drive my car. I'd get me a donkey or something. But that's not very good odds. Four jumbo jets with 500 people on them kill 2,050 people every week. I guarantee I would find another way of traveling. Wouldn't you? So why don't they do something about this for these people? I don't know. I really don't know. I think we're just like I was. I didn't know. I had no idea. You know, I mean, after I learned that 2,050 people a week die in hospitals because of wrong medication, I guarantee I made a pact with me and God. I said, Lord, after this, I won't never take nothing, anything that's medication that comes out of a hospital, you can better believe I won't never put it in my mouth. Never. Because I know what it can do. It kills people. So anyway, you know, God, He puts us to the test. He gives us the test. You know, I mean, just like He took the children of Israel and He took them out of Egypt, He showed them all His miracles. I mean, you could never have seen anything more gracious and more miraculous than when He brought those kids out of Egypt, right? I mean, man, He opened the Red Sea, opened the Jordan River. I mean, you know, He had the flies, the gnats, the frogs, you know, you name it, the firstborn died. I mean, you talk about miracles. God performed miracles. And then He brought them across there and everything, and then He brings them up to the promised land. And He sends them in, and they come back, and man, It's two guys carrying a staff with grapes and bananas or whatever, you know. I mean, those things are dragging the ground. Truly, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's everything, man. It's awesome. You want to get you a cluster of grapes, you know, just nibble on them things. Woo! Man, and don't you know, since God made them, them's probably the sweetest things you ever seen in your life. They was perfect, everything. He was giving them, and then he told them, he said, okay, yeah, it really is. The land's flowing with milk and honey, and I give it to you. He said, oh, good. He said, the only one problem, there's giants in there. Now then, I've given it to you. It's yours, but go and possess it, and I'll go with you. But God, we go in there and look one more time to make sure we didn't get them wrong size grapes. And we come back, and there's these guys carrying. Can you imagine that pole between them guys with those all that stuff on there? And they walk out, and they said, man, it truly is the land flowing with milk and honey. It is that. God was very true there, but there's giants in there. Them people are 9 and 10 foot tall. And that's what they were. I mean, 8, 9, 10 foot tall, big people. They said, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. See, now they were totally looking at themselves and not at who was going to be with them. That's what we do when it comes to healing. We look at, okay, God, I got this problem with my arm, my back, whatever. I got this tumor in my throat or whatever. And Lord, I got to have some help. So I'll pray. I'll go down to church and have someone pray over me. But then I'm going to the doctor. And that doctor said, oh, my goodness, we got to do chemo and radiation on you right now. Y'all remember the gentleman that used to sit right here on the front all the time? I've forgotten his name. Weston Blair. Y'all remember Weston Blair? He had cancer. Yeah. And the doctors told him, said, it ain't going to work. You're going to die. And so he come up here, and I told him, I said, Weston, cancer is caused by unforgiveness and bitterness. I said, do you have any unforgiveness towards somebody? He said, oh, my dad. I said, do you have unforgiveness towards your dad? He said, yeah, my dad was mean to my mother, and he used to beat her up, and when I was growing up, I thought if I could kill him, I would. He said, he was very mean. I said, well, you got to forgive him. I said, if you don't forgive him, God won't forgive you. And I said, I guarantee you, if you don't forgive him, you won't never get well.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God Puts Us to the Test, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.